Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform for Black women who are intentionally getting to where the healing and wholeness resides. Today, I'm going to be sharing my thoughts, and I don't know why that word came out so harsh. Thoughts. Sharing my thoughts on what it means for Black women to show up for themselves / ourselves, because I too am a Black woman. So what does it mean? What does it look like for Black women to show up for ourselves? And I'm giving you a few simple ways that I want you to consider when you think about showing up for yourself. But before I get into today's episode, I have a little bit of house cleaning to do. The first thing that I want to do is just, I want to welcome you into the spaces. I want to invite you in. I want to invite you to use this time to slow down. Use this time to prioritize yourself. That could be you getting your journal and maybe making some notes. It could be you getting on the couch. I would say and snuggle up under a blanket, but girl, if it's hot like it is for me, you probably are not going to want to do that unless the AC is on. But maybe it's grabbing some water or some tea or something and just basically just being intentional about hitting the pause button. If you are in a place where you can do that, Black women rarely have the opportunity, you know, to press the pause button. So I want you to give yourself permission, if you can and you're comfortable with doing that, to use this time that we are spending together in a way that truly resonates in your spirit or with your spirit, okay? So I said at the top of the podcast episode that I was going to be talking about what it means to show up for yourself. Have you ever thought about that? Like, what does it mean to show up for yourself? Keep in mind, you have a lot of parts to you, a lot of places where you intersect, right? Your job, your role in life, we're Black, obviously. We're women, obviously. I mean, there's just a lot of places where you intersect. And so this question can have a plethora of answers. I don't really feel like there's necessarily only one way to kind of think about this question and what does it mean to show up for yourself. So when I give you this, keep in mind, the things that I talk about come, they're expressed from the traumas that I've experienced, the traumas that I'm actively investigating, exploring, healing from, you know, those kind of things. So as always, you know, think about it from your perspective as well. Okay. So what does it mean to show up for yourself? I'll try to answer it. For me, I guess in this season, for me, showing up translates to doing things like, I guess in a nutshell, that I was conditioned to believe I wasn't worthy of, or like these things weren't for me. Like doing things that I was shown or taught or believed for whatever reason, okay, that these things were not for me. I wasn't worthy of it. I wasn't good enough for it. It wasn't meant for me to have. That's what showing up for me means. For me also, it means honestly just like being present and honoring my humanity the way that I need in that moment. Like just being present with the humanity of this version of myself and using my voice in a way that still it
isn't quite comfortable. I matter. My rest matters. My mental health matters. Like, just overall, I matter. My needs are important. My needs matter. And I have permission, just like you do. We have permission from who you say, from yourself. You have permission to express what you need to express. I'm gonna say it again. You have permission to express what you feel you need to express, especially when it pertains to like your health, your safety, your peace, your comfort, your joy, your whatever. You know what I mean? Like you have permission. So many of us had that permission stripped away to where when we even speak up for ourselves, it's shrouded in guilt and uncertainty and like, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing? We turn it around on us. Even though someone else is doing something, it could even be an unintentional, like they're doing something unintentionally or even intentionally. Even when they're doing harm intentionally, we still bring it back and put it back on us. Like, oh my gosh, am I wrong for speaking up? Am I wrong for objecting to how this person did this or how this situation turned out? Like, we turn it around on us, you know, and we feel guilty. We feel like it's not okay to do those things. It's like we've just been disregarded or disrespected so much. It just, you know how you just kind of like, you get used to it. You know what to expect. You know how it feels. You kind of know how to navigate what to do after it happens and how to kind of shore yourself back up, you know what I mean? And so we just move forward from that place that has been disregarded and disrespected so much because we don't want to make waves. We don't want to be a problem. We just don't want, it could even be, we don't want someone to lash out. We don't want to be seen as like someone who needs to be shunned or, you know, things of that nature. I can tell you one of the first memories that I had of not being worth showing up for is by my dad. My dad, I've talked about this before, but that is one of my first memories that I can recall as far as like, obviously as a child, I didn't have language for it, you know what I mean? The way that I do now, but that was like my first, I guess, example of me not being worth showing up for. Okay. So he wasn't present in my life. I'm not sure what happened between him and my mother. I really don't know the specifics. Even now, and it's really too late to kind of find out really anything from his side because he died maybe, I don't even know, 5, 7, 10 years ago. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. I don't know because I didn't keep up with him. But again, that was one of my first memories of not being worth showing up for. Like the people in our lives, they set the example of how we are to move throughout life, how we are to feel about the world, how we are to feel about ourselves. And whether you're aware or not of that, I can almost guarantee you that some of the things you're doing, especially if you're doing them from a place of not operating from a place of being healed, a lot of that influence you had comes from your caregivers back in the day. Okay. So like in my case, I was abandoned. I was abandoned by someone who was supposed to be there. I was abandoned by someone who was supposed to provide for me. I was abandoned by someone who was supposed to nurture me. I was abandoned by someone who was supposed to protect me. Right? Someone who was supposed to be there. And what I learned from it, I guess my takeaway from that, again, not really being able to put language to it as a child, right? The way that I can now. But I, like, what I took away is that abandonment, like self-abandonment, like this is the way to go. Like abandoning myself, self-abandonment, like this is the way. This is the secret. I'm kind of laughing as I say this because it sounds really silly, but you know, this is just kind of like how our minds work. Like, well, this was the pattern. This was what it was. So this is the secret sauce. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to self-abandon. That's just what it's supposed to be. I'm not worthy of showing up. because I'm not worthy of people showing up for me, right? So, you know, if you have the bandwidth, because I know this can be kind of heavy, but if you have the bandwidth, I want to invite you to, again, take some time with this and journal through your earliest memory. Like how I shared one of my earliest, I guess, concepts or memories is that I was abandoned. I was abandoned by someone who was supposed to care for me and love me. Journal through your earliest memory that left you with that impression that you and your needs were ultimately not the priority. Take some time and journal through that if you have the bandwidth, okay, to do so, where it's not going to cause you unmanageable stress, or if you feel like you can go it alone doing this type of exercise, because we're all in different places of what we have the capacity to do. But if you haven't thought about it, think about what were your earliest memories around that, around your worth, around being someone that was worth showing up for. Okay, this person didn't appear in my life, so it's not surprising at all that I tend to not have learned how to be there for myself. Or if I did show up for myself, it was like I mentioned before, it was just not the correct thing to do. Y'all, I don't know if that dog barking is going to pick up, but again, I super, super apologize. Hopefully you can still get the lesson from this episode, okay? All right, so I want to give you some ways that you can begin to show up for yourself. These things are going to sound super, super simple, I promise you. But when you think about it, it's like, really? Is it really so simple? Okay, is it really so simple? But before I give you this list, and I have maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, I got about, I don't even know, y'all. I was just flowing. So I've got maybe like 7 to 10 things. I'm going to try to zip through them. But before I do that, I wanted to give you those two journal prompts that I mentioned. So I know I gave you the one. So actually, you're getting 3 journal prompts today. So the first one is kind of like just thinking back on where you first felt like you weren't a priority. And I guess this ties into this actual journal prompt, which is I was going to ask you to kind of like think through or journal through what past wounding might be preventing you from showing up for yourself. So again, I'll repeat that. What past wounding might be preventing you from showing up for yourself? I'll let you write that down, and then I'll give you one more in just a second if you're still writing. And then the second one I wanted to give you is, in your day to day, how would you describe your internal dialogue? In your day to day, how would you describe your internal dialogue? I'll say it one more time. In your day to day, how would you describe your internal dialogue? So in other words, how do you speak to yourself, right? If you're worth showing up for, if you felt like you were abandoned, what kind of language do you use when you talk about yourself, when you talk about your experience on a day-to-day? Because we can learn a lot by the things that we say to and of ourselves. When we have those internal conversations, are very, very telling. So if you're wondering, what ways am I self-abandoning? Listen to your internal dialogue. That is going to give you a lot of data right there. It's free to do. It just takes awareness. And I say that as, and it's just so simple, just so easy. I mean, technically it is, I guess, but I mean, it's not. If that makes sense, it is, but it's not, right? At least sometimes it's not. So it's like, what type of internal dialogue? What kind of conversations are you having with yourself? What are you saying about yourself? What are you saying to yourself? You know what I mean? Just that awareness is going to take you very far. So again, in your day-to-day, how would you describe your internal dialogue? Okay. What kind of things are you saying? How are you showing up for yourself? How are you supporting yourself? Those two questions alone will give you a lot of data. So now I'm going to give you, again, I think it's maybe 7 to 10 things. These are quote unquote super simple things, right? Super simple. But they're not. They're not super simple. Oh. Whew. Okay. So these are in no particular order. All right. But some ways that you can begin to show up for yourself include, and this is not an all-inclusive list. I want to make sure that I stress that. But these are just some jump-off points for you to think about, okay? But again, some ways that you can begin to show up for yourself include, number one, keeping your word to yourself. Keeping your word to yourself. And as I go through this list, I want you to think about yourself as a child, okay? Because a lot of these things, again, they, as simple as they sound, a lot of this kind of, or not kind of, actually, a lot of this is in relation or in direct relation to like parenting ourselves or reparenting ourselves, I should say. Reparenting ourselves or unlearning, right? Conditioning that we picked up. So if these sound super easy or super simple, it's because technically they are, and technically these are ways that our earliest caregivers and people like people that were in authority, right, should have shown up for us, and a lot of times they failed us one way or another. Not pointing fingers, not saying it was intentional. A lot of times these people just did not have the bandwidth themselves. But knowing that, okay, especially these things weren't given to you when you were younger, a child, a teen, a young adult, etc., knowing these things really like underscores the fact that we have to be able to give these things to ourselves. If you want to heal, this is a part of the work. This is a part of the work. Okay. And again, as simple as it sounds, it's not always so easy. So I want you to be gentle with yourself. All right. So again, some ways that you can begin to show up for yourself include, I think I mentioned this before, keeping your word to yourself. This one was a big one for me because there's no trust when you don't keep your word. There's no confidence in yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like there is no having a good relationship with yourself, really, without any of these things on the list, but definitely keeping your word. Like, how many times have you said, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and then you never do? And then it's like every time you do that, you lose more faith in yourself. You lose more faith in your worth. You lose more faith in just who you are. You know what I mean? Because it's like you're lying to yourself. I'm not saying that you're intentionally doing that, but it's like, you know, it's like you're lying to yourself. Well, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And then that day comes, you don't do it. And it's just like chunking away at your confidence, okay, and what you perceive your worth to be. So if you have a tendency to not keep your word, like if you say, I'm gonna start going to the gym every single day. Sis, number one, we already know that's a lie. At least for me, that's why I don't say it anymore. Because I already know it ain't happening. And I do understand that we want to do these things, right? We want to do these things for ourselves, but it's like if it means the difference between keeping your word or not keeping your word, perhaps one thing that you might want to consider is not making that thing like such a hard thing to keep up with. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's one way that you can keep your word to yourself. Like instead of saying, I'm going to go to the gym every single day for the next 6 months, da da da, or whatever, maybe it's I'm going to go to the gym once a week. It's a little easier to do something like that versus the pressure of I'm going to go to the gym every single day for the next 6 months or anything like that. Okay. So that's the first thing that I would say. Another thing that you can do is like celebrate the small stuff, and small, I'm putting in quotation marks, like celebrating this quote unquote small stuff and allowing yourself to be like amazed and overjoyed and just thrilled by this small stuff. So like AKA hyping yourself up. You remember when you were a kid and you would bring home a picture that you painted? It looked like trash. At least in the eyes of adults. But in your precious little baby eyes, this was the most beautiful, heartfelt thing. Like you took your time with the glue as you put it on the page carefully, and you put those, you glued those little circles and squares and cotton and glitter on that page, and you took the crayons out, and in your best handwriting, you wrote like a few little words, and because you were going to give this to someone special, and you just knew that they were going to appreciate it, right? So imagine that that person that you gave it to just kind of like crapped on it, and they were like, oh, thanks. And when you got in the car, they looked at it, they're like, oh, thanks. And they tossed it in the back seat, right? Your little feelings would be hurt, right? I'm assuming you would be devastated, right? But it's like, it's the same thing to someone, the person that you gave that to, this is hypothetically speaking, it's just a small, quote unquote, small thing. But to you, their acceptance, their joy, just being thrilled to get this little gift that you made for them, right? It was not small. It was a big, big deal. And you expected them to just like swoon and just be so tickled and overjoyed by what you gave them, right? I know a lot of times that may not have happened for you, but it's okay to celebrate the quote unquote small stuff, like the everyday things, and allow yourself to be just over the moon with the fact that you did that, you had that, you saw that, you felt that, like whatever it is, okay? Just being so, and not in a fake way. Like I'm being serious when I say this, like celebrating the hell out of that small stuff, okay? That is a way that you can show up for yourself. If you got up and...
I'm a fresh-faced, minimal makeup kind of chick, and one of my best features is my eyes. So off and on, I'd be bummed because no matter the brand of mascara I used, my eyes would end up itchy, and the mascara would clump and flake all over my face. Girl, it was just a mess. Every girl deserves a great lash though, right? So these days, I'm so stoked to have found Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. You've seen it, right? It's the viral mascara in the turquoise tube that is all over your socials. It lengthens and defines the look of my lashes and makes my eyes pop. Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara features a formula that has zero sulfates or parabens. It's buildable, it makes my eyes look brighter, and it's super easy to remove at the end of the day. All it takes is a gentle wipe off with warm water and a cloth, which means no excessive rubbing, tugging, or irritation. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/self-care. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/self-care for 20% off your first order.
I'm trying to think of something. I'll take myself for an example. Like for the last few months, I guess I hadn't really been wearing any makeup because I just honestly haven't felt like it. But in the last few weeks, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do something small. I'm going to put on mascara and a bold lip, and I'm going to call it a day. And if you go to my Instagram page at Brown Girl Self Care and you look at my latest video from like the last week or two, you will see, honey, that the lips are popping because one of those days, coincidentally, I ended up going live, and you can see how pretty I looked there. But yeah, just celebrate, like, and I was just like hyping myself up, like, oh my god, girl, look at you. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to celebrate those small little things. Maybe something small is trying to think of something that we would consider, I guess, small. Maybe it's that you, I don't know, maybe it's every day you eat out for lunch, but you're like, you know, I really want to start handling my finances a better way. And instead of eating out 5 days last week, you brought your lunch for 1 day out of those 5 days. So the 4 days you still ate out, but 1 day you brought your lunch. I know that we want to beat ourselves up for doing that because it wasn't the reverse. You know, for example, you didn't bring your lunch for 4 days and go out to eat only 1 day for lunch. You did the reverse, right? So we want to beat ourselves up for those kind of things. But that is a small thing, bringing your lunch that one time. And that is something that's worthy of being celebrated. I don't care what nobody say, okay? So hype yourself up as you recall doing those little small things and be amazed by them. Like, act like those are the best things since sliced bread. It's okay for you to do that, okay? Be your own hype woman, all right? That's going to go a long way in showing up for yourself. Excuse me. Something else that I would do or say, is, of course, learning how to set boundaries. We've talked about that quite a bit in the last few months, so I'm not going to go in too deep on that one. But yes, learning how to set boundaries, learning how to say no. That's a way to show up for yourself. Another thing that is really important that I would say in this episode to you is to listen to yourself. Listen to yourself, listen to your body, and honor what you hear. Okay? Don't disregard, you know, what your body is saying, or maybe your spirit. Don't disregard what is coming up. You have a moment of clarity, or you feel in some kind of way in your emotions, like, it's okay to honor, like, listen to yourself, listen to your body, and honor what message you are receiving. Okay? We are taught to ignore our bodies. We are taught to, like, in other words, if we're in pain, you can't be in pain, still gotta work. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are taught that it's better to ignore, disregard, pretend it ain't happening, that kind of thing. Listen, it's okay to listen to your body. It's okay to listen to yourself, okay? And honor what you hear, all right? So that's another thing. Speaking of that, like, listening to yourself, because again, a lot of these things, I can totally, like, translate them into us acting, like, us going back to childhood and identifying ways that these things were not honored, right? So listening to yourself, listening to your body, learning how to set boundaries. How many times were you told to go hug Uncle So-and-so? Go give Uncle So-and-so a hug, or go give Grandma So-and-so a kiss, okay? But you didn't feel like it, but of course you had to, right? Even though your body was like, ew, no, I don't want to be touched by anybody right now. I want to go to my room and watch TV or run around and play in the dirt, or I don't really know, but how many of us were forced to do those things, even though our bodies were like, nope, it's a no for me, we had to do it anyway, right? So yeah, that's a way to show up for yourself. Honor what your body says. Honor what your intuition says. Another one that I want to say is a way for you to show up for yourself is understand that you are not too much. You may have been taught, or you may have felt like you were too much. And I'm sorry that the people that were in your circle or in your environment didn't have the capacity to recognize where you were different from them and allow you to just be your authentic self. But instead the only way they could really handle you, or the only way they could really deal with you, was to, in essence, shrink you, minimize you, cut you down, tear you down, bring you back down to earth, right? But I want you to know that you are not too much. And that's another way to show up for yourself, understanding and acknowledging that you are not too much, okay? Period. Point blank, period. You are not too much, all right? Another way to show up for yourself is to be disciplined in healthy ways, and whatever that means for you. For me, it is doing what I can to not only take care of myself on the inside, but also taking care of my body. Being disciplined means going to bed even though when I don't feel like it and I'm fighting it every step of the way. Being disciplined for me means not drinking too much coffee. Being disciplined for me means putting down the sweets as often as I can, or at least limiting how many sweets I eat. There's a lot of ways to be disciplined and to do so in healthy, non-harmful ways, okay? So whatever that looks like for you, think about that and you know, start baby step your way, one thing at a time, okay? But more discipline is definitely a great way to show up for yourself. I have just a few more, y'all. I told y'all I was flowing. So we talked about being disciplined. Another way that I would say you can show up for yourself is to treat yourself with compassion after you make a mistake, because you're going to make a lot of mistakes, period. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. I do. I make mistakes every single day. You're going to make mistakes every single day. And unfortunately, a lot of us, making simple mistakes meant you got yelled at, you got berated, you got physically assaulted, abused, spanked, whatever, you know. there wasn't a lot of compassion, especially with our brains being the way that they were when we were developing and things we didn't quite understand or couldn't get a handle on adult concepts, but you were punished if you didn't, or if you made mistakes. There was like no room for compassion. And so a lot of us lack compassion for ourselves. And I really want us to learn how to treat ourselves with more kindness, more gentleness, kinder words. Hey, shout out to Dani Faust. She's always talking about just being kind with your words. We talk a lot, and that is like one of her really big pillars. She has a podcast. She was on the show before. Her podcast is, oh my gosh, she's going to kill me. What's the name of her podcast? I'm drawing a blank. Oh my gosh. Is this what getting older means? It's called Manifested, Sis. Oh my gosh. Treat yourself with compassion. Y'all don't tell Dani that I forgot the name of her podcast. Okay. That's just between me and you. Another thing is, and this one might sound very, very silly, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you anyway. Tell yourself I love you every single day, and reassure yourself as much as you need. Okay. Tell yourself I love you. How many of us grew up in households where love was not on the table? It was not served daily. Okay. Or our parents, you know, didn't know how we wanted to feel love. They might have shown it in other ways or to the best of their abilities, or they may not have had the capacity to do it at all. And they just were, all they could focus on was just, you know, keeping your head above water, and that's it. There was no room for love. There was no room for compassion. There was no room for softness. There was no room for gentleness. There was no room for hugs. There was no room for a kind smile. There was no room for reassurance. You know what I'm saying? We have to do these things for ourselves. We have to. This is how you show up for yourself. This is how you do the work. So as maybe corny as it may feel initially, or as uncomfortable as it may feel, tell yourself every single day, I love you. I got you. I respect you. I honor you. I'm for you. I'm on your team. Like, whatever you got to tell yourself, you know what I'm saying? Starting with I love you, I feel like that's really important. I want you to do more of that. Another way to show up for yourself is to give yourself permission to have and show emotions. Yes, give yourself permission to have and show emotions. We already know that expressing emotions, you know, was not okay. You could not be mad. You could not be sad. You could not be angry. This one was a doozy for me because, and I recognize and acknowledge this because, like, for my daughter, back in the day at least, and sometimes this is still a trigger for me, but like if she was crying, it would put me, or like if she was sad or she was crying, especially, it would put me into an automatic place of like fear and anxiety, especially because, like, for example, if she called me on the phone and she's crying immediately, and I know this is not a normal response, this is a trauma response. She calls me on the phone, she's crying, I'm immediately transported somewhere I really don't even know, and I can't, it's like I shut down and I get mad. I get mad because she's crying to me on the phone. You know what I'm saying? That is not a normal response. I am much, much better now, but that was definitely a pattern for me, and it is still a trigger. It is still something that I'm working through because it puts me into this, I think it puts me into fight or flight mode, honestly. And my adrenaline like immediately starts like pumping super hard. That's the only way I can really describe it to where it would make sense. But, you know, again, it's something that I'm definitely working on. And also just sitting with my feelings and emotions, as uncomfortable as that can be. But yeah, give yourself permission to have emotion. Give yourself permission to show emotion. I cry a lot. I've said that before. Simple things make me cry. A sappy movie, a sappy song, the way certain chords are played in a song make me cry. I'm a crier, and I'm not ashamed of that. And it took a while for me to get to that place. It took a while for me to get to that place. Like, because it me crying was just not a good thing when I was younger. Another way for you to show up for yourself is, like, find out what you want to do. Okay? Find out what you want to do. It could be about a situation, and you know, look at it from a perspective of what's good, what's in it for you versus what's good for everybody else all the time. Because we always tend to do that, right? Like, find out what you want. I remember even something simple like someone saying, what do you want to eat? I would always defer. Well, like, oh, I don't know. Like, what do you want to eat? And it's like, sis, you know you want sushi. It's okay to say you want that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to find out what you want and put that on the table. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're selfish. It doesn't mean any of those negative things. It's just like, okay, you're a woman who knows herself. You know what you like. You know what you want. And you're not afraid to have it. Okay? So find out what you want. This is self-awareness. What do you want? And then allow yourself to have it. Okay? I swear I just have one or two more, y'all. another way to show up for yourself is to have an opinion on something and don't be afraid if it goes against the grain. Easier said than done, right? Because I know a lot of times when we have a specific opinion, we feel like we can be attacked for having a differing opinion, right? But it's okay. Have an opinion on something. And that is going to require you to relearn yourself, because a lot of times if we were yes men and people pleasers, we really didn't, after a certain point, like, we didn't even really know what we wanted. We didn't really know who we were, right? We were just kind of like going with the flow. Everything's chill. Everything's fine. Not making waves. But you didn't really know what the hell you really wanted, right? Or you didn't really know what your opinion was, because you knew that you had to agree with the opinions of others to be safe. So you just went along with the flock. You know what I mean? But it's definitely okay to have an opinion on something. It's okay to go against the grain. It's okay to not agree with everyone else. And again, that is going to maybe require you to do some relearning of who you are at your core, what you value, what you like, what you don't like, just like having more autonomy over your thoughts and opinions. Okay. And also relearning what it feels like to use your voice, especially in opposition of others. Okay. And that one can be very hard. And then the very last one, I swear, is, I'm looking at my note here. It says, any area of your life that you felt neglected, I want you to pull out your Uno reverse card and allow yourself to do or experience the opposite. Okay. So don't tell me you've never played Uno before. That is a game where black people are going to fight. Okay. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Uno, really cards in general. I have the hiccups because I'm laughing so much. And I think about all the times that I played Uno and just held on to them skip cards, them draw fours and draw twos. Like I said, Uno is a game where you, like, you know you're about to fight, or tables are going to be flipping. But seriously though, any area of your life that you felt, where you felt like you were neglected, I want you to pull out that Uno reverse card and allow yourself to do or experience the opposite. I'm not saying that you can go back in time, obviously, and change the past. It's not that. But it's like, I feel like a lot of times there were parts of us or experiences where we felt neglected in so many ways, right? That it's okay to, of course, you can't necessarily really pull out that Uno card, go back in time, reverse how things happen and all that stuff. But in those areas where you felt like you were neglected, where you felt like parts of you were not honored, they were ignored, they were discounted, they were disrespected, you know, those kind of things. You're an adult now. You're a whole adult now. And you have permission to do those things for yourself. Okay? And I'm saying that because I know that I left a lot of things off of this list. There's only so much time that we have. But think about your own life. Think about your own personal history, personal experiences, and things of that nature. Where did you feel neglected? Where did you feel neglected? Where did you feel unheard? Where did you feel unseen? Okay, it could be in a variety of circumstances, but I want you to allow yourself to honor those parts and do or experience a lot. Set yourself up in a place where you can experience the opposite of how you felt when you felt neglected, however many years ago. Could have been a year ago, could have been 10 years ago, could have been 50 years ago, like, you know, but any area of your life where you felt you just were not, your humanity wasn't honored, you were neglected, I want you to give yourself permission to do the opposite or experience the opposite, okay? All right, so I've given you like a 50-11 things to kind of think about. I've given you two or three journal prompts, and again, I will send those out this week, excuse me, in the newsletter. So in case you didn't have a chance to write, excuse me, I have something in my throat, I apologize. If you didn't have the chance to jot them down, I'm going to send those to you in the newsletter this week. And again, if you are on my Patreon, hey girl, hey, I will give you the full list of, I think there was like a total of 6 journal prompts for you to kind of like sit with and just think through. Nothing, like you can do them the way that you can do them the way that you see fit. Right? You want to journal through them, journal through them. If you just want to sit with them for a few minutes, just kind of like reflect on them, do that. You know what I mean? It's really entirely up to you. Okay? All right. Or as Matthew McConaughey says, all right. I'm going to put this iPad down and wrap up this show. Let me just take a quick sip of water, y'all. Water is life. How is your water consumption going, sis? Y'all still drinking your water? I hope so. As we continue navigating this tricky, sometimes almost impossible feeling, but sometimes also really amazing and beautiful. Isn't it crazy how it can just feel like, depending on, you know what I'm saying? It can feel so different, but yeah, this journey so far has just been, it's been a lot. But I'm just glad that you're here with me as we navigate this together, and we continue resisting. We continue just looking at self-care as not only an act of resistance, but something I was thinking of lately is self-care is not only an act of resistance, but it's also like an act of rebellion. It really is, because especially when you tie it to like trauma and the things that occurred with trauma, it's just... Maybe it's a conversation for another time, but it's, to me, it's looking more so also like an act of rebellion, right? A righteous rebellion. I love that. It's a righteous rebellion. Felt that one in my spirit, so I went with it. So, yeah. But that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for being with me today. Have a blessed week. And I will see you next Monday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast.